Good morning. Once again, it's great to see our visitors that are with us this morning. You're always more than welcome, and we hope to see you again. And also to those that have been sick, it's good to see you back again. And to those who weren't sick but always here, it's good to still see you. And, you know, I became, as you all know, I became a father back in October of last year, and since her birth and even before her birth, I've thought a lot about leadership. I've thought a lot about, you know, I was a child once, so I know what it's like to be a child, and now as a father, I think, how am I going to lead my child? And more specifically, not so much with the physical things of this world, because that's always changing, and I'll just have to deal with it as it comes about, but as a spiritual leader to my child and to my wife. As a Christian, what am I going to do and what am I doing for my wife and my daughter to show the spiritual leadership that I need to as a husband and as a father? And not just as a husband and a father, but just as a Christian to those I come in contact with, my friends and my family and my church members. So I want you to ask yourself that today. What leadership qualities as a Christian have you developed in your life? Or are you developing? We have a lot of young children in this congregation. Whether it be a few weeks old, you know, a few months old, all the way to teenagers. And I know it's been said before, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. That the children that we have today will be the church leaders tomorrow. And how they lead the congregation, whether they're men or women, because I'm not going to be one who says that women do not lead the congregation. I am great, I am who I am today, and I am better today because of my wife. And I would dare any man up here to say that they got where they were today not because of their wife. Just because we're men doesn't mean that women do not lead. So this lesson is just as much for women today as it is for men. Because these young ladies in the congregation are looking up to these women in the congregation today on how to lead as a woman. And these young men in the congregation today are looking up to the elders and looking up to the other leaders and the other men in the congregation and even to me asking themselves, what leadership qualities are they possessing that I can exhibit one day? It is impressive to note the great influence that Joshua had with those of his generation. We read it during the scripture reading again, but I want us read it earlier, but I want us to read it again. That it came about after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. We have a man here that I would say maybe second to Jesus, at least in the Old Testament terms, had to be one of the greatest examples of leadership we can ever exhibit. Of course, much was done because of God and was due to God who was with him and his many great works, such as parting the Jordan River and the fall of the walls of Jericho and the day that the sun and the moon stood still. But credit must also be given to Joshua, for from the very beginning, the promise of God's support was solely based on Joshua and upon his faithful obedience to the word of God. If Joshua did not obey in the way that God wanted him to, he wouldn't have parted the river. He wouldn't have had the walls of Jericho fall down, and the sun and moon would have continued to orbit just the way they always did. Or I guess the earth orbit the way it always did. Joshua, therefore, as I said, stands as an example of what it means to be a great leader and as a great example of what it is to be a great Christian. as I grow as a Christian, I should look toward people like Joshua and ask myself, what did Joshua do to become successful? And am I doing those things? As I am the example to the young children in the congregation and to my wife, or if you're a wife, to your husband, am I the example that my spouse needs? Am I the example that my children or those in the congregation need? Am I the example my friends and family need? For every generation needs good leadership, especially in times like these, in the midst of struggle and doubt. Today I want us to consider more closely the qualities of Joshua that served to make him the great leader that he was, so that we may know what to expect out of ourselves, what God expects out of us, and what our spouse, our children, and those in the world expect to see in us as Christians. First, I want us to see that Joshua was a man of humility. This is a hard thing for many people today. Many people today do the best they can to set the word humility or humiliation as far away from them as possible. But we see that Joshua not only was a man of humility, but a man who embraced humility. Before he was a leader, he was a man who was willing and able to serve. For 40 years, he served under Moses in the wilderness. That is the length of a full-time career for most people. Can you imagine going 40 years without a promotion at work? Being in the same position that you started out with? This is what Joshua did. He was known in Exodus 24:13 as Moses' assistant, and in 33:11 as his servant. We need to learn as we grow as Christians and as we become that example that people who are of God's character and who are Christians should have no problem serving. This is something I want to commend this congregation for. Very rarely have I ever visited or been part of a congregation that has a family so willing and able to serve as this family here. I have never contacted anyone so far who wasn't willing and able to help and serve in whatever way it was needed. We need to show this to our children. We need to continue to be willing and able to serve as Christians, to show that it's okay to be servants. Jesus Christ, the greatest leader that we could ever have an example of, was a servant at heart, was he not? And even after Moses died and Joshua became a leader instead of a follower, he was still willing and able to serve. Though having been magnified by the Lord himself, he was willing and able to serve. In Joshua 4:14, it says, "On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him, just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life." He was a man who literally was set apart from everybody else. He was exalted by God. If anybody could have had any excuse or reason not to serve, it would have been Joshua, I would think. I can just see any worldly man said, "I'm above you. I don't need to do that. I don't do that anymore because I've been exalted." But Joshua didn't. He served in just the same capacity that he did before he became a leader, before he took Moses' place. In Joshua 5:13-15, we see, "Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' He said, 'No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, 'What has my Lord to say to his servant?' The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, 'Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." Joshua was a man who, even in the greatest leadership capacity of his time, was a man who with humility bowed down before the Lord and was willing to serve. Are we willing to serve today as Christians? Am I willing to show my spouse and my children that no matter where I am as a Christian, whether I've been a Christian for a year or 90 years, that I am willing and able to serve wherever the Lord leads me to serve? Joshua's humility is also demonstrated as we consider another quality that we find in him, which is a man of faith and trust in God. I remember as a teenager, as I started to find that desire to find a wife one day, you know, to see, you know, and I started to question, you know, what am I looking for in a wife one day? The greatest words ever given to me was the advice, find someone who will make sure you get closer to heaven. And if you find someone who focuses on you getting closer to heaven, and you likewise focus on your spouse getting closer to heaven, you can't go wrong. Now, I'm not saying this just because she's in the room today, but I think I did a pretty good job at finding a woman who helps me get closer to heaven today. As we, now young children that may or may not be Christians today, wherever you are in your walk of life, children, I'm talking to you now. As you grow and as you become a Christian, or as you grow as a Christian, whether you're a child or even if you're an adult, we need to make sure that we are a person of faith and trusting God, and that it shows to those that we are leading. Joshua was a man of faith and trusting God, as demonstrated when sent out to spy out the land. 10 of the 12 spies in Numbers chapter 13 demonstrated their lack of faith by coming in scared, saying, we can't take this land. It's a land of giants, and look at what kind of things they have. There's no way we can take this land. But despite whatever peer pressure Joshua may have had, Joshua, along with Caleb, demonstrated his faith in God by the report that he gave in Numbers 14, 6 through 9. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which he passed through to spy, the spy out, is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. We, like Joshua, when faced with peer pressure to back down, need to say, we do not need to fear what is in the world, because the Lord is with us. And I like how he says in Numbers 14, if the Lord is pleased with us. With the way I am today as a Christian, is the Lord pleased with me? My life on earth, and as I grow as a Christian, and as I grow as an example to those around me and to the children and to my child, every single day, this needs to be the question on our minds. As I wake up in the morning, I need to ask, today, is the Lord going to be pleased with me? And at the end, before I go to bed, as I look in the mirror, we all need to ask ourselves the question, did I make sure the Lord was pleased with me today? Did I fulfill my obligations and responsibilities as a Christian today? And beyond that, as Joshua, did I go above and beyond what was required of me as a Christian? Did I show humility today? Did I show to others that I was a man or a woman of faith and trust in God? Did I help my wife become closer to God today? Or for a woman, did I help my husband? Did I set the right example to my child today or grandchildren in order to make them closer to God? We also see where Joshua demonstrated this with the fall of Jericho. The Lord gave Joshua specific instructions in Joshua 6, 2 through 5. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and its valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do this for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of Jericho will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead." Now, what do you think would have happened here if Joshua said, "Well, why march around once every day for 6 days, blowing our trumpets and making a big noise and alerting everyone to where we are? Why don't we just skip to the 7th day and we'll just march around 7 times? We'll all shout hooray and the walls will fall down." I guarantee you those walls would still be standing when they were done. Only full trust in the Lord could have led Joshua to follow such what would have been to most weird instructions. But he did. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, it says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they had been encircled for 7 days, it had nothing to do with what Joshua did. It had nothing to do with the trumpets or the marching or at the 7 day marching around 7 days or shouting with a great shout. It all had to do with faith. As we become leaders, men and women, and as we grow further every year and every day as Christians, are we truly and honestly putting our faith in God like we should? I have to admit, sometimes I struggle with it. Not in trusting God per se, but in letting God do his thing. I've mentioned this before, I'm a fixer. If I see a problem, or if I even get a hint that there's going to be a problem down the road, I start working on ways to fix it. And sometimes the best thing for me to do is just to say, "You know what, God, let me do it your way. Let me put trust in you." But even if I pray to God sometimes, I find myself trying to tell God, you're working too slow for me, God. I got to do this on my own. I got to speed this up a little bit." And every day, it's a work for me to have to calm down and sit down and say, "God, maybe it's not up to me to fix this. Maybe it's up to you to fix this." I struggle with putting my full faith in God and trust for him to do things in his own way, as I'm sure many do. But as I grow as a father, as I grow as a Christian father and as a Christian husband and as a Christian person who others look up to, I need to work every day at showing that full trust and full faith in God is what we need to succeed as a Christian. As much as Joshua may have thought it was weird, I'm not to touch the wall at all. I'm just to march around it, making some trumpets, and then on the 7th day, I make a big noise, and it's going to fall down. As hard as that must have been for many in that number, it worked. And if we will trust in God, and we will show that trust, things will always work out the way God intended. Closely related is another quality that made Joshua such a great leader, which is he was a man of God's word, which goes right along in with trusting God. His success was directly related to his adherence to the word of God. To ensure success, he had to fulfill all the law given by Moses and God. Joshua 1, 7 through 8, it says, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Oh. We'll just forget that then. We need to make sure that as Christians we are showing others that we have a full adherence to the Word of God. And after this, to ensure that he did, God told Joshua that he was to meditate upon the Lord day and night. In verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1, it says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." I have an honest question I want to ask to each and every one of you. Outside of today, when was the last time you meditated on the Word of God? And I'm not talking about just the daily Bible reading. I fulfilled my quota for today. Or I read it and I read, or I looked at, you know, some kind of magazine that had an article about God in it and I did my quota. When was the last time we truly opened up the Word of God, we read what it was that he had to tell us, and we sat down and we pondered on it and we meditated on it. And we asked ourselves, well, how can I use this scripture, whatever it is I read, to make my Christian life better today? I think as Christians in today's society, we've fallen into this trap that Satan has set for us. That if we memorize scriptures, and that if we read through the Bible in a year, or that if I read an article that someone somewhere has written, I'm fulfilling my obligation to read the Word of God. God has never once told us to read His Word. He has told us to meditate and to learn and to devour His Word. I like what he says, I believe it's in Ezekiel, to eat what it was that he had given him. When was the last time we truly devoured and truly took what the Word said to nourish our bodies? We eat physically, I don't know about you, but I eat 3 times a day. Sometimes more if I feel like it. My body cannot live adequately, cannot survive if I do not eat nourishing stuff to fulfill my body as the day goes through every day, 3 times a day. Then why is it that when it comes to our soul, sometimes we go a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month or longer without feeding our soul? If my body withers away if I don't feed it, then what do I think my soul is going to do if I don't feed it? God told Joshua, and Joshua adhered to it and knew that he had to meditate and devour the Word of God every day if he was to grow as a leader of the Israelites. And as a Christian, how can I expect to be the influence I need to be on my family and on the church and on anyone I come in contact with if I myself am not healthy? God is the doctor, and every day I need to make an appointment to make sure that I am healthy and that I get a spiritual physical. Are we doing that? Am I making sure that I devour and I learn? Because the more I learn, the more I can teach. And the more I learn and the more I teach, the better the church of tomorrow is going to be. How the church is led tomorrow is directly responsible to me. I am responsible for making sure that I give the adequate tools to the church of tomorrow to be leaders. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? Time and time again that we saw where Joshua listened to what God had to say and adhered to the word of truth. He did it in reminding the 2.5 tribes of their responsibility in Joshua chapter 1. He did it again in renewing the covenant at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim in Joshua chapter 8. And we find in Joshua chapter 11, verse 15, we find the perfect summary of Joshua's devotion. It says, "Just as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded him. I hate to break it to you, but one day you are going to pass from this earth. One day I am going to die. And when my children talk to their children about me, and when my grandchildren talk to their children about me, and they ask, what was Grandpa Jordan like? I want them to be able to say, Jordan did just as the Lord commanded, and so he did. He left nothing undone that the Lord commanded him. I don't care if they know anything else about me. I don't care if they know about my dashing good looks and stunning smile. I don't care about if they know about how great of a husband I was to Caitlin. All I care about is that they know that I was a man who did everything the Lord commanded, and so I did, and I left nothing undone. I don't want to leave Jordan's legacy to my family. I want to leave God's legacy to my family. Even at his life's end, Joshua encouraged the nation to heed God's word in Joshua 23, 14 through 16. Even at the end of his life, Joshua was still encouraging those to be more like God. Time and time again, he set this example of what it meant to be a God-like character. Are we setting that same example today? For those who will be leaders one day, and for those that are leaders today, in whatever capacity it may be, we need to heed the charge that God gave Joshua in Joshua 1 and verse 8. To meditate on the word and devour it every day. This is the same charge that Paul gave to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 16. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation for both yourself and for those who hear you. You know what he was saying here? What he is telling Paul, what Paul is telling Timothy here is, in your soul, in your care is a soul to be saved. And even more so than that, in your care is the responsibility to make sure you set the example because everyone's watching you. I remember once, a few years ago, I was sending some money to my sister. She had bought some things for me and sent them to me, and I was reimbursing her. And so the best way to do it was to send a money order to her, seeing as I lived up here and she lived down in Oklahoma. And the way the Price Chopper was set up where I went was, the only way to get the money order was to go around the counter, and right there was all the liquor. They had a section of liquor, and that was the only place they did the money orders. A few days later, I get a phone call from a friend of mine wanting to know if I was drinking. As a minister, if I was drinking. And I was like, no, not yet. You know, no, I'm not drinking. Why would you think I'm drinking? I was like, I don't have any alcohol in my house. I never went to a bar. I've never been to a bar. I don't know what's going on. They said, well, some people called us saying that they saw you in the liquor section of Price Chopper. And I was like, no. I was just sending a money order to my sister. That's the last time I sent a money order at that Price Chopper, I guarantee you. But it set the bad example. Because I was just standing in the general area of all the liquor, people thought that I was buying alcohol. And there were people who were struggling with that, who if I was drinking, were going to stumble because I happened to be standing in a place that, unbeknownst to me, gave the appearance of evil. So every day, and I didn't even know there was people watching me, that I knew anyone in the store at that time. And yet, people were watching me. We need to set the right example every moment of every day because we never know when we are being watched. And we don't know when that one moment will be that makes it or breaks it for a Christian. We need to set the right example. I always hear people say, I want to be a man of my word or a woman of my word. And I think that's wrong. I don't want to be a person of my word. I want to be a person of God's word. And if I am a person of God's word, then by default, I will be a person of my word. It goes higher than me. It goes above me. It doesn't matter what I say. It matters what God says. And if I say what God says and adhere to that, then it doesn't matter what I say. Because God will set the example for me. Finally, we see that, most importantly, Joshua was a man who put God first in everything he did. Before the business was at hand, even in the middle of a military campaign, in Joshua chapter 8, Joshua made sure that he spent time with God. And though it gave the enemies time to gather together to plot, Joshua said, we're not going any further without a counsel from God first. Even if it takes time out of our day, we need to make sure to give counsel to God before we do anything and everything else business-wise. Since I've been speaking a lot about marriage today, I want to give one final example. I remember on my wedding day, my grandfather was my best man. And I had some really good, I had my brother-in-law as a groomsman, and I had some other good friends of mine as groomsmen, and we were waiting in the back right before we were about to come out. And I was so stressed at that time, I couldn't find my tie for the longest time, but I finally found it. So I was stressed, and I wasn't thinking clearly. And right before we got out, my grandfather stopped, and he said, I cannot let you go out. And I said, why? And he said, I cannot let you go make one of the biggest decisions of your life outside of being a Christian without first consulting God about it. He said, I want us to pray right here. Not, you know, whether this is the right decision, because it's a little too late for that. But he's like, people are already here. But that God will bless your marriage. Because you're not just married to Caitlin. God is mixed into your marriage as well. It's not a marriage of two, it's a marriage of three. He said, your job is not to put your wife first, and her job is not to put you first. Your job is to put God first, who will allow you to put Caitlin second, and likewise for her to you. And if you put God first, then you will be doing what is right. And so we sat down and we prayed. And for 5 whole minutes, my grandfather prayed a blessing over our marriage and over our union together as one. We need to make sure that before we go into anything, whether it be marriage or a business transaction or anything in our life, that we go and put God first. Which leads us into our last bit of this section, which was that he put God before anybody and everything else. He cared not what others thought, but only what God thought. Not wanting to skip through, but in Joshua 24, 14 through 16, which is probably one of the most famous scriptures in all of Joshua, says, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served before the river, beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Every day we need to wake up as a Christian and make a conscious effort to put God first and to serve the Lord. We need to stand. There he goes. We need to stand as the influence to those around us, to our children and to our spouses and to those in the congregation. Because as we see, Joshua's influence stood for good for all those he came in contact with. In Joshua 14 and verse 16, it says, "The people answered and said, 'Far be it for us to forsake the Lord.'" Where are you today as a Christian? Are you setting the example of humility, of faith and trust in God, of a man or a woman of God's word, and of a person who always puts God first? As I said, in your care is a soul to be saved. And in your care is a Christian soul to bring up in the right way. The church of tomorrow is going to be what we make it today. However we are as a Christian today is the example we are setting for everybody around us. Are you setting the example you need to set as a Christian? Are you raising your children or grandchildren? Or being the spouse that you need to be? Or just being the example that God would have us to be to those in the congregation? It doesn't matter if you're a minister or an elder or a Sunday school teacher. You're still being watched. And you are still an example to someone. Whatever your need may be, I ask that you please come as we stand and sing.